Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 10th of March 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how miniature robots are learning to swarm, how the Hercules beetle is helping scientists to make smart materials, and how new devices are helping to track down those elusive and very small nanoparticles. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Azo Nano's Cameron Chai speaks with John Miles of the National Measurement Institute. John tells us about the importance of governmental bodies that oversee physical standards and their involvement in this burgeoning field of nanometrology. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. An international science team from Penn State University in the United States and the University of Southampton in the United Kingdom has developed a process for growing a single crystal semiconductor inside the tunnel of a hollow optical fiber. The device adds new electronic capabilities to optical fibers, whose performance in electronic devices, such as computers, typically is degraded by the interface between the fiber and the device. The research is important because optical fibers, which are used in a wide range of technologies that employ light, including telecommunications, medicine, computing, and remote sensing devices, are ideal media for transmitting many types of signals. The development of the single crystal device builds on research reported in 2006, in which the team first combined optical fibers with polycrystalline and amorphous semiconductor materials in order to create an optical fiber that also has electronic characteristics. The group's latest finding, that a single crystal semiconductor also can be integrated into an optical fiber, is expected to lead to even further improvements in the characteristics of optical fibers used in many areas of science and technology. In yet another twist on the strangeness of the nano world, researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology and the University of Maryland, College Park, have discovered that materials such as silica, that are quite brittle in bulk form, behave as ductile as gold at the nanoscale. The results may affect the design of future nanomachines. The Institute first demonstrated the latest incongruity between the macro and micro worlds this past autumn with direct experimental evidence for nanoscale ductility. At the macro scale, the point at which a material will fail or break depends on its ability to maintain its shape when stressed. The atoms of ductile substances are able to shuffle around and remain cohesive for much longer than their brittle cousins, which contain faint structural flaws that act as failure points under stress. At the nanoscale, these structural flaws do not exist, and hence the materials are nearly perfect. In addition, these objects are so small that most of the atoms that comprise them reside on the surface. The next breakthroughs in the electronics size barrier are likely to come from microchips and data storage devices created out of novel materials such as organic molecules and polymers. With innovative measurement techniques and new ways to position the molecules, National Institute of Science and Technology researchers reported how they have improved manipulation of so-called block copolymers, polymers made of mixing two or more different molecule building blocks that are tethered at a junction point, which can form arrays of tiny dots that could be used as the basis for electronic components that pack terabytes of memory in something as small as a pack of gum. One of the challenges in polymer nanotechnology is how to control their self-assembly, a hard-to-control process for materials which requires precision. An important recent NIST accomplishment has been in developing accurate measurements of thin-film polymeric nanostructure in three dimensions. By combining the many 2D neutron scattering pictures into a single composite scattering pattern, this technique provides the first quantitative method for imaging 3D internal structure of thin-film polymeric nanostructures using neutron scattering, a crucial tool to see if the nanoscale polymer structures are in their required positions. A groundbreaking project at the University of York is to investigate how swarms of miniature robots can work and evolve together. The aim of the Symbiotic Evolutionary Robot Organisms Project, or Symbrion, is to understand the principles that govern how robots can form themselves into a single artificial organism. The technique enables them to interact collectively with the physical world and might ultimately be applied to real-world tasks such as rescuing earthquake victims. Multi-robot organisms are made up of large swarms of individual robots, each slightly smaller than a sugar cube, which work together to form a single artificial life form. The organisms are able to share information and energy with one another and to manage their own hardware and software. The University of York and the University of the West of England are among 10 international partners. York's role is to develop an artificial immune system which can protect both the individual robots and the larger collective organism. The immune system will be able to detect faults and make recommendations to a high-level control system about corrective action, much as a person's adaptive immune system monitors status to keep the body healthy. When the robots join together into a single organism, each robot will be able to share this crucial information with others, creating an overall system which can evolve in the face of new problems, just as a natural immune system is able to cope with unfamiliar pathogens. Food, packaging, and agricultural products containing manufactured nanomaterials pose a toxic health risk and should be suspended from sale until new safety testing, laws, and appropriate labelling are created, according to a new report. The Friends of the Earth report reveals Australians may be unwittingly ingesting nanomaterials that could be toxic because regulators are struggling to keep pace with their rapidly expanding use. The report found that 104 foods, food contact materials, and agricultural products containing nanomaterials are now on sale internationally. Nanotechnology is now used to manufacture some nutritional supplements, flavor and color additives, food packaging, cling wrap, containers, and chemicals used in agriculture. Industry analysts estimate several hundred nano food products are now on sale internationally. Report co-author Georgia Miller said many of the world's largest food companies, including Heinz, Nestle, Unilever and Kraft, were currently exploring nanotechnology for food processing and packaging. Researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology and the University of Maryland have developed a new optical method that can detect individual neutrons and record them over a range of intensities at least 100 times greater than existing detectors. The new detector promises to improve existing neutron measurements and enable tests of new phenomenon beyond the standard model, the basic framework of particle physics. The use of an optical means of detection rather than an electronic one also offers the prospect of at least a 100-fold improvement in neutron detectors' dynamic range, which is the spread of recordable neutron intensity from faint to bright. This stems from the fact that optical detectors respond more quickly than electronic detectors, which suffer from longer periods of inactivity known as dead time. With further development, this new method can potentially lead to better measurements at existing neutron facilities and enable new tests of physics beyond the standard model. The strongest creature in the world, the Hercules beetle, has a colour-changing trick that scientists have long sought to understand. Research published in the New Journal of Physics details an investigation into the structure of the species' peculiar protective shell, which could aid design of intelligent materials. The Hercules beetle is remarkable, not only for its strength, which allows it to carry up to 850 times its own weight, but also for the fact that the protective outgrowth of the insect's shell also changes from green to black as its surrounding atmosphere gets more humid. Researchers from the University of Namur in Belgium have used the latest imaging techniques to study the shell of the beetle to determine the structure responsible for the colour and a spectrophotometer to analyse how the light interacts with this structure. The light interferes with the structure to produce the green colour of the shell. But when water penetrates through the widely opened porous layers, it destroys the interferences phenomenon, leading to a black coloration. Music. Finding the key to gold's chemical reactivity, or that of any metal nanocrystal, is difficult, as few measurement techniques work at the nanoscale. Now researchers at the University of Illinois have demonstrated a sensitive probe that can identify and characterize the atomic structure of gold and other nanocrystalline materials. Because chemical reactions primarily take place on surfaces, scientists need to know how atoms are arranged on those surfaces. While scanning probe microscopy works for flat surfaces of bulk crystals, a different technique is required to study the surface of nanocrystals. In the study, researchers used a technique they developed called nanoarea coherent electron diffraction. The technique works by illuminating a single gold nanocrystal, about 3 nanometers in diameter, and containing close to 1,000 atoms with a coherent electron beam, about 40 nanometers in diameter. The electron beam is scattered by the atoms in the nanocrystal, resulting in a complicated diffraction pattern made of speckles, similar to what's seen when a laser beam is reflected by a surface. When deciphered, the diffraction pattern describes the structural arrangement and behavior of the atoms, and the number and lengths of chemical bonds in the nanocrystal. A clever new microscope design allows nanotechnology researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology to track the motions of nanoparticles in solution as they dart around in 3 dimensions. The researchers hope the technology will lead to a better understanding of the dynamics of nanoparticles in fluids and, ultimately, process control techniques to optimize the assembly of nanotech devices. While some nanoscale fabrication techniques borrow from the lithography and solid-state methods of the microelectronics industry, an equally promising approach relies on directed self-assembly. This capitalizes on physical properties and chemical affinities of nanoparticles in solutions to induce them to gather and arrange themselves in desired structures at desired locations. Potential products include extraordinarily sensitive chemical and biological sensor arrays and new medical and diagnostic materials based on quantum dots and other nanoscale materials. In this week's AzoNano interview, AzoNano's Cameron Chai speaks with John Miles of the National Measurement Institute. John tells us about the importance of governmental bodies that oversee physical standards and their involvement in the burgeoning field of nanometrology. The establishment of nanoregulations is discussed, as is the state of play with regard to standards that relate to nanotechnologies.
This is Cameron Chai here from AzoNano, and I've got with me today Dr. John Miles, who wears several hats. He's the Chief Research Scientist, the manager of the new metrology program for the Australian government, as well as the chairman of the Standards Australia Technical Committee for Nanotechnology. How are you doing today, John?
I'm great, thanks, Cameron. Yeah.
So there's quite a few different hats that you wear then, a few responsibilities.
Yes, it's all very interesting work.
And I guess the nanometrology is one of these things that sort of lurks around in the background that we don't hear a lot about, but it's obviously quite important to a lot of day-to-day activities and...
Yes, and certainly in terms of nanotechnology, we know about that, but nanometrology, which is sort of a sub-branch of that, is part of the whole measurement system. And in many ways, we don't hear much about the measurement system in Australia or internationally either, but it works behind the scenes, keeping our measurements valid and controlling trade and commerce and so on.
Okay, and you're the Chief Research Scientist at the National Measurement Institute. What do you guys actually do at the National Measurement Institute?
Okay, the National Measurement Institute, every industrial country has a National Measurement Institute. And the international measurement system has been going for probably 100 or so years. Each National Measurement Institute in every country essentially establishes the physical standards that are used within the country to control measurements, to control trade, to assist with industry, to make sure that quality processes are done correctly, etc., etc. So an extremely vital part of our infrastructure that actually not many people know about.
Right, so you guys look after standards for things like length, weight, electrical
yes.
properties and things like that?
All of those things, the meter, the kilogram, the second, basically the main SI units and the subunits of those. So there are 7 SI units and other derived quantities. But as well as that, the National Measurement Institute looks after chemical and biological and biochemical standards. We look at testing for food, we're into forensic testing, we do the sports drug testing for Australia, so it's a very diverse organisation.
So you've got, you're into a lot of different things.
Yeah, and the way to think about it is the easiest example is for the kilogram, which is the standard of mass. The kilogram is, you have a primary standard, which in the case of the kilogram is the primary standard for the world is kept in Paris. It's the original kilogram that was set up 100 years ago. Every country, every NMI has a copy of that kilogram. We have number 37. Mm-hmm. That's kept in a vault in a laboratory at Lindfield in Sydney. And we take that out every now and again and very carefully compare it to our other standards of mass. And every measurement of mass that's within the measurement system in Australia traces back to that standard kilogram in Sydney.
Okay. And recently you guys established the nanometrology program. What exactly is that?
Yeah, the idea of that is a recognition that that any emerging industry or any industry at all requires the support of a valid and sound measurement system. If you think about any industrial revolution, it's relied on, in many ways, a measurement system that provides integrity, provides traceability to a single standard, gives confidence in measurements. And we're applying that to the emerging industry of nanotechnology in Australia. So the idea there is that we hope to set up, or we will be setting up, primary standards and secondary standards of measurement that allow us to trace the definition of the meter down to the nanometer. So we'll be able to link our standard meter down to nanometric measurements in the nanoscale, thereby assisting regulators, industry, and so on in the performance of the duties.
You also serve on the Australian Technical Committee for Nanotechnology. What do you do in that capacity with Australian standards?
Yeah, Standards Australia and so on concerned with slightly different types of standards. The NMI looks at physical standards, that's a real thing, like a kilogram of metal. Documentary standards, which is what Standards Australia and other standards setting organisations set up, they're actually written specifications or documents. So Standards Australia is charged with the responsibility of developing Australian standards for nanotechnology for use in the community, for things like regulation for trade or for agreements between suppliers and clients and so on. The way we're actually doing it is linking in with the International Standards Organisation, who are writing a series of standards. Essentially what will happen is that the Standards Australia Committee here feeds the needs of Australian community into the international system. The standards will be written and we'll probably end up adopting most of the ISO standards locally here.
Okay, so what you're doing has influence and impact on the regulation and formation of nanotechnology policies and...
Correct, yes. The standards themselves will be used directly by government and by the various regulators. They'll be used by, as I said, by industry in trade and commerce. So essentially the standards will be written in three main areas: terminology, measurement and characterisation, and health, safety and environment. The other way that NMI assists in this process is that we sit on a number of government committees whereby we feed in advice on measurement issues relating to regulation and to government processes.
And have you got any feel for timeframes when these regulations and definitions might be in place?
Yes, the ISO committee, it's a fairly slow process because there are 30 or 40 odd countries involved and they've all got various interests. Terminology, you can imagine, being a bit of a problem because there are different languages and different cultures. The very first standards for terminology there's one or two already published. I would see that the standards will start to flow now from ISO within the next year or so, and I would expect that this process will go on for a number of years. As standards are written, they will be published and adopted. I'd like to think that by 1 to 2 years, we'll have a pretty good set of terminology standards. We'll certainly be looking at some technical guidance already on health and safety. There's going to be published this year a fairly major document on the use of nanomaterials, guidance to the use of nanomaterials in the workplace, which I think will be a very useful document for people working in the field.
Well, 1 or 2 years, that's not too bad considering you've got to try and keep up with this field of nanotechnology which is racing ahead at the moment.
Absolutely, and hit the nail on the head there, because one of the issues with nanotechnology is a lot of the technology hasn't been developed, and that's not normal for standards. Standards are usually written after the technology is developed. Here they're trying to anticipate what will happen, And it's moving so fast that the ISO and Standard Australia world are really aware that they have to move as quickly as they can.
All right, and could you tell us a little bit about the National Nanotechnology Program in Australia?
Sure. The Australian government about 3 years ago set up an investigation initially into the needs for Australian nanotechnology. That resulted in a report which then led to the formation of a new program within the government called the Australian Nanotechnology Program, and it's headed up by the Australian Office of Nanotechnology, which is a federal initiative. That's really been running for about coming up for 12 months, and that has many aims. It involves some funding for the work of the National Measurement Institute, for example, in establishing traceability of measurement, establishing a nanoparticle measuring laboratory. But the Australian Office of Nanotechnology is also looking at health safety issues, it's looking at communication with the public, and it's looking at a lot of the various aspects related to the use of nano in Australia.
So it's fairly all-encompassing.
Yeah, it's trying to put forward a coordinated approach to nanotechnology in Australia. The state governments have been quite active in the field as well, and so they're looking to coordinate the program and the development of nanotechnology.
And you were also telling me about you've got a technology transfer program that you're working on?
Yes, the National Measurement Institute, part of the program that we've initiated is the running of workshops and technology transfer sessions, training sessions. We've had one already, we're having another one next week in Sydney. These are designed to bring the community of nanotechnologists together, particularly in the nanoparticle area, looking at the issues of measuring nanoparticles, why we get different answers, the quality of the instrumentation, what the accuracy and uncertainties are, and they've been very successful. As well as that, where we plan to run comparisons and proficiency tests, where we send around nanopowders or nanoscales, and we ask industry and research institutions to measure them, and we collect the results and feed them back and sort of let them know how they're going with their measurements.
Well, it sounds like you've got lots of things that are going on there that will really benefit Australian nanotechnology developers.
Well, we hope so, yeah.
All right then, John, thanks very much for your time, and it's great to hear about the work that you're doing.
Thanks, Cameron.
ASO Nano Business News. Nanosys Incorporated announced that the company has received ISO 9001:2000 certification for their quality management system. The certification was received from TUV Rhineland of North America, a global leader in independent testing and assessment services. Altair Nanotechnologies Incorporated, a leading provider of advanced nanomaterials technology for use in energy, pharmaceutical, life sciences, and industrial applications, has reported financial results for the year ended December 31, 2007. The company reported revenues of $9.11 million as compared with $4.32 million for 2006. The net loss for 2007 was $31.47 million, or 45 cents per share. Industrial Nanotech Incorporated, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, has announced the shipment this week of the first of 10 containers of the company's patented Nansulate energy-saving protective coatings to Collagen Limited, the company's distributor in Turkey. The product is being applied at a textile plant to reduce energy consumption and protect against corrosion of equipment in their textile facility, one of the region's largest. The order will continue to be shipped and paid for at a rate of one sea container per month for the next 10 months. CVD Equipment Corporation completed the acquisition of a new 13,000 square foot building to facilitate the scale up and commercialization of new products for the nano, solar energy and semiconductor fields. The Swedish Micro and Nano Fabrication Network, MIFAB, has now been strengthened through a grant of 75 million Swedish krona from the Knut and Alice Wallenberg Foundation. The goal of becoming a national resource has come one step closer. MIFAB focuses resources for nano and microfabrication in the three leading university laboratories in Sweden. The idea is that MIFAB will link up requirements and resources as efficiently as possible. Tronix Microsystems SA, a leading global manufacturer of custom MEMS components for demanding applications, and IMEC, representing Europractice IC Services, announced today their collaboration to enable Europractice IC Services to add MEMS to its multi-project wafer programs. Tronix, the leader in custom MEMS on SOI, is the first technology provider selected by IMEC to support Europractice IC Services' extension of its product portfolio to MEMS. and will provide the program access to one of its MEMS on SOI technologies through regular MPW runs. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 10th of March 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.